Our first reading this morning from Psalm 46, verses 1 through 7. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. From the New Testament, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 6, verse 27. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Here ends our scripture reading, challenging us to embrace what is still unknown to so many of us and to most people across the world. May God's Spirit be with us and teach us this morning. My friends, some time ago in the Rocky Mountains, a bighorn sheep ram approached a home while the family was watching football on television. The bighorn stopped suddenly, seeing its reflection in a plate glass window and thinking it was another ram, the bighorn bowed its head, ready to charge. He backed up and immediately saw that the other ram backed up as well. Every time he moved, his reflection moved. And finally, after a long duel, the ram shook his head and charged full force into the window, knocking him unconscious. Now, have you noticed that some people act exactly the same way? One can only wonder, what is there in some people that caused them to walk around ready to butt heads with anybody they meet? Even they should know that in the end, they are the loser and that they will suffer for their negative attitude. It's like the two Western cowboys talking about the third cowboy. One said, he's a real tough character, you know. He's very quick on the trigger. He can shoot before his pistol even clears his holster. Now, his friend was really impressed. Whoa, that's fast, he says. If he can shoot before his pistol clears his holster. And tell me, by the way, who's that? What's his name? His friend answers with a smile, Footless Frankie. I guess all of us have shot ourselves in the foot by being too quick to criticize, too quick to condemn, to confront, to challenge, too quick to chastise others. Now, following the teachings of Jesus is contrary to the ways of our times. Because people tend and seem to prefer to be like bighorn rams. People in our times are ready as ever to pursue, to push, to play favorites, to hate and battle to keep ahead in the rat race of our times. So great is the moment, great is the surprise, and huge is the difference when someone discovers that there is an alternative to all of this. When someone looks back on the road they have traveled and see far too much of a bighorn sheep ram in themselves. When someone discovers it's only a mirror that they eventually see, and that there is an alternative, we call it the Jesus alternative. Jesus calls into the desert of our lives and lures us to embrace the unknown, to try the high road, to choose the better alternative, and to avoid the ways of the world. And I just love this description in Luke. It is as if there is a slight tone of sarcasm in the tone of the words ascribed to Jesus. And it does bring a little bit of a smile when Jesus asks, if you love those who love you, tell me, what credit is that to you? Don't you realize that even sinners love those who love them? There's nothing new to that. Then he asks, if you do good to those who do good to you, tell me, what credit is that to you? Didn't you notice that even sinners do the same? They do good to people who are good to them. Oh, yes. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and hope to receive as much and sometimes a little more again. And then comes the Jesus challenge to embrace the unknown for so many people, saying, why don't you try this? Love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Then he concludes, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. So the point becomes clear. There is no virtue in loving those who love you. Actually, everybody does that. So you are good to your mother? Big deal. Other people do exactly the same. Even the mafia looks after their own. If you and I are going to be followers of Jesus Christ, we have to go one step beyond what the sinners do. We are going to have to love those people whom we ordinarily could not stand. We have to learn to deal with those difficult, inconsiderate people who cut in front of us in the supermarket line or in rush hour traffic. We will have to learn to love and not to respond to those people whose dumb, backward political opinions in our eyes that are different from our own, those who dare to have a different set of values from ours. Somehow, the Jesus alternative challenges us to embrace the unknown, to look with new eyes at the world around us, and to learn that we are, after all, not a bighorn sheep ram, but we are followers of the one who said so long ago, follow me, and I'll show you the better road. Because when we look at people through the eyes of Jesus, we see an entirely different person than we normally see. We see every person to be a person of specific value, of worth. You know, it is easy to look at a young person in trouble, perhaps with the law or with his parents, perhaps pregnant or on drugs, and to then cast a critical eye and say, see what they do. I guess until you become a parent yourself. Until you discover what it means to have a child of your own that you cannot always hold to your breast, that you sometimes have to entrust to a merciless world, to have seen your own children fall and suffer. Then we begin to understand what Jesus meant. Looking with different eyes at the unhappy, the broken, and the unfortunate. It could be my child. And the moment when you start looking at people like that, it begins to make all the difference in the world. Living an egotistic, selfish life robs our lives from the joy of loving and receiving love and appreciation. It can filter the sunshine out of our very existence. Several times before, I heard a story about Leonardo da Vinci, and before you say that from the pulpit, you better make very sure that it's not just a rumor. So I went into all the resources that I could find, and I found the same story time and time and time again, bringing me to believe that this is actually true, that Leonardo da Vinci, just before he commenced work on his famous painting of the Last Supper, had a violent quarrel with a fellow painter. He was so enraged and so bitter that he decided to paint the face of his enemy, the other artist, into the face of Judas. And thus, he wanted to take his revenge by handing the man down in infamy and scorn to succeeding generations. So the face of Judas was therefore one of the first that Leonardo finished. And everyone could easily recognize it as the face of the painter with whom Da Vinci had quarreled. However, things went well for a while and he continued on until he came to the phase when he was supposed to paint the face of Jesus. And that's where he got stuck. That's where he could make no progress. Something seemed to be holding him back, to be baffling him. Something frustrated his best efforts. And he began to wonder why. What's up with me? What's wrong? Until he discovered that the thing that was holding him back and frustrating his efforts was the fact that he had painted his enemy into the face of Judas. So he could do no different. He went back and painted out the face of Judas and then continued with his painting and finally came and he painted the face of Jesus in a magnificent way. Success and the ages since then have agreed. My friend, you and I cannot paint the features of Christ into our own life while painting another face, no matter who, with the colors of animosity and hatred. There's no way. It's not possible. You cannot follow Jesus Christ and continue on the old way and continue to call yourself a Christian and a follower of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, in Jesus' name, if you try to do that, then you got misguided. Then there is something missing. Then there is something wrong. Then you are missing the joy that we believe only Jesus Christ can give. Because when you and I come to know our own love and acceptance, when we come to say amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch even like me, then we begin to understand what Jesus Christ was telling us, calling us to be accepted by God as a child, changing our perspective. Because suddenly, since following Him, we seem to be able to love the unlovely, to do the unlikely, and to get on with painting the masterpiece of our lives. In medieval times, Francis of Assisi, a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, realized the truth that there is something different, an unknown possibility by following Jesus. So he prayed a prayer that would inspire generations to come, and hopefully all of us today. He said, "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light, and where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.